It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 875 for the 29th of March, 2024. This week, if you regularly mutter to your computer that it doesn't do something you want it to do, or doesn't do something the way you want it to, stop for a moment and investigate. There's a good chance that the computer can accommodate your desires. In short circuits, anyone who has trouble finding where TV programs they want to watch are streaming, or who forgets to watch new episodes, will find Just Watch to be quite useful. And the latest versions of Adobe's photo editing applications are filled with useful features, but that doesn't mean we should forget about applications such as SnapArt 4. One of my most common responses when somebody complains that a task is impossible because Windows doesn't have the ability to do it goes like this. Actually, you can do that with Windows, and here's how. My second most common response goes something like this. I wonder if there's a way to do that. Followed by a search using DuckDuckGo or Google, in which I find that Windows can, indeed, perform the task. This is all understandable because Windows has so many features, functions, and settings that few people know them all. Now, it'd probably be safe to say nobody knows all the features, functions, and settings, but I use that weasel word because somebody might. Perhaps somebody in Redmond. When I started using personal computers in the 1980s, Microsoft DOS version 2.1 was what we had. It came with a probably 300-page manual that listed all of the DOS commands and explained how they worked. The drive to see my wife's parents was about 2 hours each way, and I remember taking the DOS manual with me so I could read it while Phyllis drove. We don't have operating system manuals today. There are some online resources, and you'll find technical reference manuals for system administrators, but there's virtually nothing for computer users. Not that users would read them anyway. Cars and trucks come with thick manuals. Some are several hundred pages long, but most sit in the glove box, untouched by human hands. So computer manufacturers and operating system creators pretty much gave up on providing manuals. My method, when I get a new computer, a new camera, or a new phone, usually involves reading the Quick Start manual. There usually is one of those, two or three, maybe four pages. And then working with the device until I encounter something I don't understand, or until I want the device to do something but don't know how. Then I go to the manual, or a search engine, or YouTube to answer a specific question. Usually, I do eventually get around to reading the full manual if one is provided, and it's almost always time well spent. What I'm getting to with this rather long lead-in is that far too many computer users frustrate and anger themselves by assuming Windows, or an application that runs on Windows, or the Mac OS, or Linux, isn't capable of doing something they want it to do. So they continue to fuss and fume week after week, wasting their time and fouling their mood, when a bit of research would resolve the problem. RTFM, read the fine manual. It's one way to solve a problem. But search engines and YouTube are often faster, but only if you confirm that a proposed solution is actually intended for the issue you are concerned about, and that it has been offered by someone you trust. I have seen malicious answers, such as one that will delete the computer's operating system and all of a user's data files if an uninformed person can be tricked into running it. So don't take everything at face value. The fact is that your computer probably can do what you want it to do. I've got a few examples for you. You might find something useful here, but that's not my main point with these few examples. What is important is understanding that there's almost certainly a way to have the computer perform any action you want it to, but learning how to make it happen might require a little bit of sleuthing. Although this is about Windows, the same is true for the Mac OS, and Linux, and operating systems that power our phones. The most current version of Windows is 23H2, released in the second half of 2023. Some Windows users in the Insider program have the pre-release version of 24H2, which pushes Microsoft's Copilot artificial intelligence to the fore. This technology is likely to make it easier for users to find obscure settings and functions by simply telling the computer, in plain English, either by voice command or by typing, exactly what you want it to do. Although it's technically not a part of Windows 11, I encourage all users to treat Power Toys as if it were part of the operating system. It's developed under Microsoft's supervision, and it seems to be a way to add features without having to make them part of the operating system. The individual features can be turned on or off at the user's discretion. I have enabled most of the features and turn off only those for which I have a separate utility. The feature I use most often is called Power Toys Run. It's easy to start an application using the Start menu by pinning the application to the taskbar or by placing its icon on the desktop. But Power Toys Run is the fastest way to start an application that's not in one of those positions. I use Crystal Disk Mark, but fairly rarely, so it's not pinned to any of the key locations. Pressing Alt Spacebar opens a dialog where I can type CRYS. Then I immediately see Crystal Disk Mark, and I can open the application immediately. Recent improvements have made Power Toys Run even more useful. I can type an equal sign to perform a calculation, 2 exclamation points to see recent results, a question mark to search files and folders, a period to search applications, a colon to navigate to a registry key and then open the registry editor, an exclamation point to manage Windows services, a greater than symbol to execute a command, and right parenthesis to paste a date and time. And there are several more, too. A lot of good stuff in there. Most people, of course, know how to use Ctrl-X, Ctrl-C, and Ctrl-V to cut, copy, and paste text or images. After all, these have been around since the early 1980s. They were first used on Apple's Lisa computer, except with the Apple key, of course. Windows has added a relatively new keystroke, the Windows key and V, to list items previously clipped to the buffer. But the Windows key and V also offers instant access to emojis, GIFs, and the symbol picker. Beyond that, there are dozens of other shortcut keys that do everything from opening settings or locking the computer to activating the Start menu or refreshing the current window to opening the File Explorer or opening Task View. If you'd like to see a comprehensive list, you can check it out on Windows Central, and there's a link to Windows Central on the TechBiter Worldwide website this week. Sometimes I wish that an author would write a book with every possible Windows 11 tip, tweak, or time saver, but we're far past the time when that would even be possible. It wouldn't be just one book, but several, and it would be out of date even before it had been edited and printed. That's what chat forums and search engines are for. Instead of searching through an impossibly long and outdated set of books, you'll find an answer online. And if everything proceeds the way Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella seems to want it to, eventually we'll be able to just tell the computer what setting we want to change, or what feature annoys us, or what it is exactly we want the computer to do, and AI will take it from there. Until that happens, though, I have 3 recommendations for getting the most out of Windows. First, install Power Toys. No question, just do it. And you'll find a link to where you can get Power Toys for free on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Second, use shortcut keys whenever you can. You can't learn them all at once. That's just not going to be possible. So read through the list of shortcuts and make a cheat sheet for the ones you think will be most useful. Work on learning those, and when you've got them, continue with some new ones. And third, if something on the computer annoys you more than once, research the issue and find out how to fix it. The answer is out there. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In Short Circuits, one problem with television today is that there is so much of it. Even if you have just the 50 or so channels available over the air in many metro areas, finding what you want to watch can be a challenge. Those who have cable television or who have opted for several streaming services have even more choices. If you want to just watch something and not spend an entire evening trying to find it, Just Watch can help. Just Watch is the name of a service that lists about every series, program, and motion picture available on television and shows you which service is streaming it. There's an app that can be loaded onto your smart television or your phone, and it even shows theaters and times where current motion pictures are playing. The main screen includes a search function, a selector for movies or television shows, and filters that then speed the search based on various criteria. It's free if you don't mind seeing some ads and missing a few features, or you can pay a little less than $3 a month for the premium service. In addition to eliminating the ads, the premium service includes additional filters so that users can explore content by country of production, runtime, and Internet Movie Database vote count, as well as hide titles that you've watched or you've marked as unwanted. Users can create multiple watch lists and share those lists with other users. The lists can be made public so that users can examine other users' public lists, and there's a tracking option that can be used to keep track of series programs you're watching so you don't miss new episodes. One of the first activities will be to select the streaming services you subscribe to, and the most current popular programs are then shown on the Discover Daily screen. Just Watch doesn't list every streaming service, but there are more than 500 services on its United States list, so obviously that's most of them. The listings vary by country, and it supports more than 100 countries in over 35 languages. When you select a program, Just Watch displays the streaming service or services the program is on, as well as locations where you can purchase access if you haven't subscribed to a service that has it. It's a good idea to create a free account, but you don't need to if you simply want to use Just Watch to find shows or browse content libraries. To track specific shows and create lists, you do need an account. The free account also lets Just Watch send you notifications for new episodes of your favorite shows. And when you sign up for the free app, you'll be asked which streaming services you use so the app can track them. It will then display new shows and movies that are added to the services. If you choose a motion picture, Just Watch will show streaming services if it's available on a streaming service, locations where you can rent it or buy it, and a cinema button for motion pictures that are still in theaters. Clicking the cinema button displays nearby theaters where the motion picture is currently being shown and the times when it'll be on. In addition to being browser-based, Just Watch has apps for Android and Apple mobile devices, and as I mentioned, it can be installed on some smart televisions. Start on the Just Watch website or in the Apple or Google Play stores. You'll find a link to Just Watch on the TechBiter Worldwide website. If you install the app on a mobile device or open the website, you'll see the Discover Daily list that I mentioned earlier. It lists the most popular shows and movies as suggestions for you. Just Watch can also tell you if a show is trending on that specific day or if one might be going viral. I I am delighted with new capabilities in Photoshop and Lightroom Classic, but there are still extensions and plugins that allow users to modify images in appealing ways. Take SnapArt 4, for example. SnapArt applies painterly effects to images. Like exposure, which I mentioned recently, SnapArt 4 hasn't been updated for a very long time, and the copyright name still shows Alien Skin Software. I suppose exposure software could add new branding, but it's really not necessary. When you have a photo you'd like to see with an artistic effect, SnapArt 4 is the right tool. There are presets for color pencil, comics, crayon, impasto, oil paint, pastel, pen and ink, pencil sketch, pointillism, heavy stylization, and watercolor. Within each class, the user is given a choice of several variations. Abstract, colorful, and details are frequent options, along with three more that fit whatever artistic media is being replicated. Then the user can apply a mask to control where the effect is applied or omitted, and adjust several selectors in various categories for the background media, masking, color treatment, lighting, and canvas. SnapArt 4 may have received no updates in a decade, but maybe that's because it really doesn't need any. In addition to serving as a plug-in for Lightroom Classic and Photoshop, it runs in standalone mode. You'll see an example photo on the TechBiter Worldwide website. I started with a photo of Hollycat, modified that image in Lightroom Classic, and sent it to SnapArt 4, where I picked a watercolor effect. So, to give you a quick sketch of the full process, the original photo was from the camera in my Android phone. That image suffers from mixed lighting. There's interior light that tends to be reddish and yellowish, and there's some exterior light coming in that tends to be blue. So when I got the cat's colors correct, the exterior light is very blue. I used Lightroom Classic's ability to select the background, then added some yellow to reduce the blue cast, and slightly desaturated the background. The final image that you'll see is what was returned from SnapArt 4 using the watercolor filter. But let's take a look also inside SnapArt 4. I'll show you three options that I took a look at. In addition to the watercolor effect that I selected, I also looked at the impasto effect and an oil paint effect. Take a look on the TechBiter Worldwide website and see which one you like best, which one you might have selected. The danger of applications such as SnapArt 4 is that ease of use means they're sometimes used inappropriately. Not every image deserves to be converted to an electronic version of something by one of the great masters. But when you have a valid reason to use such an effect, you'll be glad you have SnapArt 4 in your toolkit. Although users have full control over the masks, SnapArt starts by using edge detection to discern the object's edges, lines, and shapes of the original image, and it usually does a pretty good job. The masks are key in allowing realistic reproduction of detail and balancing it with convincing artistic effects. If you'd like more information, check out the Exposure website. You'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, www.techbiter.com. And then look for the SnapArt 4 page. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.